Let's have some fun. Despite of the difficulty in reading, lately I have been thinking about a subject that is becoming dear to my heart. And I would like to share it with you tonight. I want to start tonight, and we might go for a few weeks on this subject. I've got saved in 1975. I got into ministry in 1977. Next month is going to be 40 years. 40 years since I started preaching. And praise God. In all my life, in all my walk with God, I have never heard anybody preaching about the power of a parent's blessing. I've been thinking about this for a while. And this thing has been in my head. So I'm thinking, Lord, if I gotta preach about this, I don't want you to give me the sermon. Just give me the different topics. So tonight, I have the power of a father's, between parentheses, parents' blessing. And this is lesson number one. And I want to go over this thing with you because I believe that our children's destiny, our spouse's destiny, depends a lot on the word that comes out of our mouth. You may not believe in this, but God gave us example of this, and the patriarchs believe in this so much that this used to be something that they did very often. The body of Christ, in large part, is missing out on something of great significance. Through my Christian walk, my walk as a preacher, I have found very few people who have ever received a father's blessing throughout their entire life. And I'm talking about earthly father. The father's blessing is rarely experienced in the Christian circles. Even though this blessing is strongly spoken of throughout the scriptures. For example, our Heavenly Father has set the example and has also set the precedent for the Father's blessing. And we will see later down the road, He blessed Adam and Eve. He blessed Abraham. He blessed Isaac. He blessed Jacob. He blessed His Son, Jesus. And I was shocked to know, if I went to the concordance, to the computer, and I checked the sentence, and the Lord blessed. And you'd be dismayed how many times that sentence comes in the scriptures. God is a blesser. Yes. God enjoys Himself in blessing His people. Amen. Yes, He does. And we as believers, I believe we are missing out a lot because we have so far failed to bless our children, to bless our spouses, to bless the works of our hands. The Heavenly Father has set an example for us to follow. The patriarchs of the Old Testament, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, clearly understood the power of a father's blessing, and they practiced it. Maybe think, well, preacher, I hear you. Is there any benefit to have a father's blessing or a parent's blessing? The benefits of a father's blessing are far reaching, and readily make the difference between success and failure, victory and defeat, happiness and misery in an individual's life. Well, somebody may say, well, my father died when I was young. So what? You get a mother. You still have a parent that can still bless you. Amen. You get church leaders. If you are going to a godly church, you get church leaders that can pronounce blessings upon your life. One may ask, why is that important? Because a blessing is the opposite of a curse. Are you with me here?
Yes.
A blessing is the opposite of a curse. Well, no curse ever happens without a cause. Are you with me here?
Amen.
Brother David, can you put up there for me Proverbs 26:2? When there isn't a blessing, I believe in a way it somewhat prepares the path for a curse somewhat to try to hang out on the life of that person. Look, listen to this. Like a fleeting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. You getting this, right? Let's make it easy. Can you give me the NLT, please? Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse will not land on its intended victim. If we practice the habit of blessing our children, of blessing our spouses, it doesn't matter how many times somebody out there can curse, it's not going to land.
Amen.
Because there is the presence of a curse, in the of a blessing on the life of that person. Are y'all with me so far? So I believe that the absence of a blessing makes way for the curse to lay hold. Are you with me? One of you may say, well, I never thought about this. This is why I never bless my children. Okay, I got good news for you. You can start it tonight.
Amen?
Amen? You can start it tonight. And sometimes parents fail. I was just talking to somebody recently. A bright kid, really, really smart kid. But this kid is down. So I said, what's the big deal with you? Why are you down? Because every time my father speaks to me, it's always a negative word. I said, I need to talk to your father. The blessings of a father and a mother, or both, goes beyond what eyes can see. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 18:21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And those who love it will eat from its fruit. In other words, many of us are aware of the reality of the curses. But we fail to recognize that our tongues can also be used as an instrument of blessing. When we use the wrong words, when we are always speaking on a child, that's why I say, you better discipline the child than to be speaking stupidity over the life of your child, over your children. You follow me so far? Discipline. God gave stack of meat on the back here to be used for that, for discipline. Nothing else. Not to be showing off on them all. It's for discipline. So you better discipline than to be speaking nonsense. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So whatever we speak of our children, our siblings, our spouses, can cause supernatural demonic powers to gain entrance through evil, negative words spoken over the life of a loved one. I believe, for example, when a child hears his mother and or father speak word curses, such as, you are a problem child, or you are so stupid, You can never do something right or anything right. Sometimes parents even say, I wish you had never been born. When the parent says something to a child as this, without realizing they are paving the way for a curse to alight upon the life of that child. Some well-intended but misguided ministers attempt to cancel the power of a curse with another curse. It doesn't work like that. Let's go to Matthew. Chapter 5. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. That's the old way of doing business. Let's jump to Matthew 5, 43 and 44. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. 44. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You would be shocked to hear the amount of people that call our office asking for prayer with the chief complaint that they have been used by parents, by siblings, by family members. And when this thing is not treated properly, it is a curse that will follow those people for the rest of their lives until it is dealt with. Are you with me so far? Yes. It says in here, if it happens that somebody became your enemy, chopping them off doesn't do. It says in here, love those people. Somebody say, are you serious? Are you kidding me, right? After all she did to me? Yes. After all she did to you. Somebody once say, love your enemies. It's going to drive them crazy. And it is hard for somebody that has been hurt someone else to know that despite of all the mess, you're still loved. Now, many people don't know to make the difference between loving and being a mat. When the scripture says that we should love somebody else, that is our enemy, does not mean that we have to lay flat on the floor and let them walk upon us. That's stupidity. But the other way is also true. When somebody hates us, our first reaction is to talk bad about that person. Is that right? Or keep distance, and any opportunity that we have, we chop them off. Jesus said, no. I'm telling you right now, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. I met once a lady that she was 59 years old. Brilliant person. But she could have never made something out of herself. Because her father cursed her, saying that she said, preacher, I was growing up and every time my father addressed me, come here, stupid. You're a mistake. Why don't you die? Now, when you think about this, is abuse. This is abuse. But there's going to be people along the way, and in many cases our parents, that in a moment of anger, instead of controlling their anger and disciplining the child, they will unleash their discipline in form of words. What they fail to realize is that words might take an entire lifetime to heal. Are you with me so far? It's better for you to discipline. It's going to hurt for a while, but then it's going to go over, and they will remember that. But when we fail to bless, we can cause a wound that in turn, recently, somebody that used to attend here sporadically, that had been ultra abused by the father. The father got sick and was on the hospital on his way to the other world. The person came to me and said, "Preacher, that B, S-O-B, is sick in the hospital and I hope that he die." I'm listening and say, why would you say something like this? You have no idea how much that man abused me. You have no idea how many times he cursed me. Say, but this is not what this scripture says. Bless those who curse you. Do good to the people that hate you. We developed something here a little different. And I'm not saying this to brag. I'm saying this that you can get a clue of what we are trying to say. We all know that the neighbors next door gave us a hyper hard time when we start building here. How they kick us out of the building before we could have our own building up and whatnot, and we had to put a trailer here, and how they just stormed through the office demanding that so many things would be done, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They couldn't wait. Well, my beloved wife, jump on her knee and get some other sisters. Let's pray for these people. We start praying for them and praying for them. And then on Christmas, Passover, Memorial Day, and Thanksgiving Day, we, the church, purchased a basket full of fruits and chocolate, all made nicely. And Sister Nancy, who used to be our PR, drove across and brought it to them in the name of Baltimore Christian Faith Center. It didn't take more than a year. These people changing from water to wine. The Bible tells us that do good to the people that hate you and pray for those who spitefully either use you or persecute you. There is power, folks. There is power on a blessing. I'm asking you now, did it ever occur to you to bless your enemies? You know what I'm talking about? Did it ever occur to you? Oh, Lord, I bless that boss of mine that is always speaking on me. Folks, let me tell you this. Whenever you and I have bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred, anger, in our hearts, against any antagonist in our lives, we are making a landing strip for the curses to alight on the life of that person. Demon power is the force that makes curses a reality. To have a curse, if someone is a believer, means that you're being oppressed by a demon. To have a demon is to be cursed. Are y'all getting what I'm trying to say? So you may say, okay, preacher, so what's the point? The point is that we as the Church of the Living God are missing one of the most important things that is available to all of us. The power of blessing. So today, I'm going to start by dealing with one man. His name was Isaac. And Isaac blessed his son. Isaac took Rebekah as his wife, but Rebekah was barren. She couldn't have babies. Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife, and the Lord granted his petition. And Rebekah conceived and became pregnant with twins. And the two sons struggled in her womb. They're already fighting on the womb. Rebekah sought the Lord as to the reason for her discomfort. And God replied, Brother David, may I have Genesis 25, 23? And the Lord said to her, Rebekah, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other. Get this. And the older shall serve the younger. You may say, what do you see here that Isaac blessed his children? Well, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 20, we find this. By faith, Isaac you got that? This did not happen after they were born. It happened when his wife made an inquiry from the Lord. Why am I struggling with so much discomfort? The boys are fighting your womb. Two nations, two people. And they're not going to be friendly. They're going to be separated. And the older one's going to serve the young boy. And right at that moment, Isaac blessed his sons. Now let me say a few things tonight. I want you to take it home. A parent blessing is, number one, a prophetic blessing. This is the greatest characteristic of a father's blessing, a parent blessing. It is a prophetic blessing. What do you mean it's a prophetic blessing? Pay attention to this. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concern
things to come.
A parent blessing is a prophetic blessing. You may ask how? When the parent blesses his children, his child, he or she or they speaks forth the Heavenly Father's sovereign purpose for that child's life. Are you with me so far? You say, I don't quite understand. Let me say again. A prophetic blessing is when the parent speaks forth the Heavenly Father's sovereign purpose. God's sovereign purpose, in this case here, in election is seen in His decree that the older shall serve the younger. Is that correct? Let's go to Romans 9:11 so you can understand what I'm trying to say. Romans 9:11, 12 and 13. Read it with me. For the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him who calls, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. 13. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. When the parent was blessing those children, they are calling forth into existence the purpose, the election that God Himself had already decided. Are you with me so far? I'm going to apply this thing in a few minutes, so I want you to stay with me here, because this is important. When you speak a blessing upon your child, you are prophetically calling into existence whatever God had already planned. When Isaac realized that he was near death, he knew it was time to bestow the father's blessing upon his sons. It was the custom to bestow a favored blessing upon the firstborn. Esau was the firstborn. Stay with me here. But to bestow the favored blessing upon Esau would have been contrary to God's revealed purpose. Are you with me so far? God told Rebekah, the older shall serve the younger. That's God's purpose. Stay with me here. If Isaac had blessed Esau, the firstborn, as it was accustomed, he would be going against God's purpose. Are you with me so far? Rebekah, being the mother, had not forgotten the words spoken to her by the Lord before the twins were yet on her womb. Are you following me so far? For God had said, the older will serve the younger. Therefore, Rebekah devised a plan whereby Isaac would be deceived and Jacob would receive the blessing of the firstborn. So blind Isaac, mistaken Jacob for Esau, laid his hand on Jacob and spoke a prophetic blessing upon him. Somebody might say, well, that's cheating. That's cheating. No, it wasn't cheating. Because God told Rebekah that the older should serve the younger. Is that correct? Jacob was not going by what God said. He blessed both of them. But perhaps in Isaac, not Jacob, Isaac. In Isaac's eyes, it might have not been looking good. You're crazy. I'm not going to bless the younger one. That's not how we do business around here. You know how we religious people act many times. Rebekah, remembering what God told her, she devised a plan. She said, listen, your daughter is about to die. Ran, grab one goat. Right away. He did. They killed the goat. She took the skin. Then she got some super glue, put on his arms, and then put the goat skin on his arm, on his chest, on his back, and get a stinking goat, the stinking one, stinkiest one you can get. So he came, brought it, she cooked the food the way that Isaac loved. What a mother. I said, now take it for your daddy. He comes, Dad? Yes, who's this? I am Esau, your son. I brought you your food. So quick? Come close here. And he came close and he goes, my son, the voice is Jacob, but the smell is Esau, my boy. And then he goes on Genesis 27, 28, and 29 to say this. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plant of grain and wine. Boy, what a loaded blessing in here. And you know, I am enjoying this. I am enjoying this. Not because I'm cute. That's not only that. But I am enjoying this. Why? It was a prophetic blessing spoken over my ancestors that is still true today. I was trying to encourage a young man recently, young Jewish man. And he was a little on the downside. And I thought, dude, despite of being born in a family of almost zero income, every job where I went, they always put me down there. And within 3 months, I'm on the top. Every store that I start working as a store clerk, I end up managing. And it didn't take a year before I get to management position. What you're saying? A blessing was spoken by my father Isaac upon my father Jacob. He says, therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren. And let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. This blessings is carrying on until this very day. And this is why a father's blessing, parents' blessing, they are prophetic. They can make a distinction between life and death, happiness and misery. Are you with me here? And I know someone says, well, I don't have a daughter to do that for me. You got a mother, don't you? My mother died. You got grandparents? Yes. Somebody must be in charge of you. I got no branch of me, only my husband. Then let your husband bless you. Are you with me here? God never leaves us hanging. When your parents are gone, you have a spouse. When your spouse is gone, you have spiritual leaders. But let's impart blessings upon the life of our loved ones. Again, we find the important principle of the Father's blessing being prophetic. So what's the big deal? The prophetic blessing expresses the very mind and purpose of God. You got this? Therefore, I'm here to tell you tonight that the Father's blessing, parents' blessing, is extremely important in the life of our children. It opens heaven's doors to divine favor in one's life. There was a time that our son Ted had a rough month selling cars. So one day he left. I said, may the Lord bless you with a lot of sales this week. I did on Monday. Mom did on Tuesday. And then she did again on Wednesday. I think on that week he sold 5 cars. After being without selling anything during the whole month. A parent's blessing upon the children opens heaven's doors to divine favor upon the children's life. A parent's blessing or a spouse's blessing again opened heaven's door. When Isaac had discovered that he had been deceived, not having blessed the firstborn son as he had thought, Genesis 27:33 tells us that he trembled. Listen to this. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed. Say with me right now, I bless my children with the favor of God. I bless my children with the knowledge of the Lord. I bless my children with success in all their endeavors. I bless my children with the strongest spiritual awareness. In Jesus' name. When Esau realized his brother had robbed him of the coveted blessing, he was furious. Listen to Genesis 27:34. He was furious. And When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry. That's rough. That shows you the importance of a father's blessing. And he begged his father, bless me also, O my father. Esau's desperate plea for his father's blessings revealed just how important the father's blessing is. His entire future, welfare, rested on this blessing. So he said to his father in 27, 36, and then 38, the following words. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And now look, he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Listen to verse 38. And Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father. And Esau lift up his voice and wept. His daddy blessed him all right, but listen to the blessing that his daddy gave to him. 39 and 40. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, behold, you dwell and shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. It's a copy of what he gave to Jacob. Watch. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck. He did bless him. He did give him part of the blessing he gave to Jacob. Brother David, can you go back one verse, please? I want to call your attention to something. Verse 39. Behold, your dwelling. No, that's not the one. Give me the proof. Wait a minute. There you go. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth. Some have suggested that this fatness of the earth here is petroleum. Saudi Arabia, Jordan, which is Amalek, no, Moab is Jordan. Know those little countries in the Middle East have a lot of oil. And some say that's the fatness of the earth he was talking about. Are you with me here? So he did get some blessing, but was never compared to the blessings that Jacob had. Now, the writer of Hebrews gives us a pertinent insight into Isaac's blessing. Let's go real quick in Hebrews 11, 20 and 21. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. Let me end up tonight by saying a few words here that I want you to get. Isaac's blessing was indeed a prophetic blessing that was spoken in faith and received in faith. Are you with me so far? What? Say again. The blessings that Isaac spoke about Esau and Jacob, they were prophetic blessings They were spoken in faith, and they were received in faith. What do you mean? It had not happened yet. This is why it was prophetic. And it was spoken in faith because Isaac was looking forward for what God had already promised. Are you all with me so far? A prophetic blessing extends past the death of both the blesser and the blessed. Are you getting this? Isaac's faith looked beyond his death. His confident faith saw that God's purpose would not be frustrated by his death. He spoke with divinely imparted assurance of what would happen in the future of his two boys. In other words, a blessing given according with God's leading cannot fail. It was based on faith, it was spoken on faith, and it was received in faith. Here's another principle that applies for a father's blessing. A father's blessing is also given in an act of worship. What? Say again. A father's blessing is given in an act of worship. Verse 21 of Hebrews tells us that when Jacob blessed Joseph's two sons, that Jacob worshiped leaning on the top of his staff. You got that? A father's blessing is to be given in an attitude of worship. Why? Because the earthly father is speaking on behalf of the heavenly father. So I'm going to challenge us tonight. We will continue next week. I'm going to challenge us tonight to perhaps change the way that we talk to our children. I'm going to challenge us tonight perhaps to start developing the habit of blessing our children and our spouses, even when we are mad at them. You're mad at them? Yes. Pick up a belt and whip them real nice. That will do it. You know, you're not going to hold any grudges. They're going to feel the pain. They're going to be mad at you, but they'll get over. It is better to do so than to pronounce a curse or say something in a moment of anger that will affect their lives for the rest of their existence, which may in turn produce failure, hurt and pain for the rest of their life. How many smart kids are out there struggling because of words that they heard when they were young? The parents didn't have wisdom to speak the right words, and they don't have wisdom to let it go. I thank God for Jesus, and I thank God because the Lord had his eyes on me from the get-go. I said this once, I'll say it again. My stepfather never spoke anything positive upon my life. When he wanted to compliment me, he would call me SOB. That was a compliment. And he always said, "You are useless. You will never amount to be anything in life." Well, Jesus got a hold of my life. And I decided to prove him wrong. So from all the family, I was the first one to have a university degree. The first one to get, according to American standards, to a doctor's degree. The first one to fly an airplane by myself. The first one to set foot overseas in several continents. And that curse could not alight.
Amen.
Could not land on the intended. I didn't have a father to bless me, but I have an everlasting father.
Amen.
That had his eyes on me from the get-go.
Amen.
It is my prayer tonight that you will change the way that you talk to your children. Bless them. Your blessing upon your children's life might very well make the difference on the outcome of their lives. May God give us boldness and courage to keep on blessing our families.
Amen.
God bless you.